My mom was trapped in her head with OCD. There was things that she couldn't get past. And she actually, I don't talk about this a lot, but she would, her OCD was so bad, she would wash us. She thought that we were contaminated. And her contamination was my dad was the contaminant in her head. With that struggle there, that taught me a lot. She gave me a gift to be able to see why people do the things they do. And I believe that's where it built my leadership skills is because mom was trapped in her head and I always wanted her just to be okay.
Welcome to the EO Wonder Podcast, news, interviews, and much more about entrepreneurs shaping the future, discussing the highs and lows of running a business, and also the interesting things happening within EO. And now your host, Kalika Yap.
Tanya, welcome to the EO Wonder Podcast.
Thank you, Kalika. I'm lucky to be here.
So we just finished our Entrepreneurs Master's program, so we're here together in Boston, Massachusetts. How did you like it so far?
The MIT course was just amazing. Brian did a great job, and I was just grateful to be here with all 65 of us. It was amazing.
And so tell us a little bit more about your entrepreneur, like which chapter you're in and sort of your journey in EO.
I'm from EO Atlanta. I've been in EO about 6 years, and I was a dental hygienist, and I was having struggles growing a business. And when I had a couple of patients that would come in and I'd tell them my struggles, and they were like, you need to join EO. And I'm like, what is that? And they really couldn't tell me. And so they would say it every time they came in to get their teeth cleaned. And then I had another person tell me I needed to join EO. And then finally they hooked me up and I went to lunch with someone, and then they told me a little bit about it, but not a whole lot. And then I just took a leap of faith and joined.
Well, tell us also about your journey as an entrepreneur and having a family.
Well, my journey started a long time ago. When I was a little girl, I actually had a bicycle wreck and I knocked my teeth out. And I on a bicycle that had no chain on it when I was going down pedaling down a hill. I started going really fast and the chain came off the bike. I hit a parked car and it knocked me out. It knocked number 8 out, and I always say I went into dentistry head first. But my mom took me to the hospital that day, and they brought the tooth to the hospital when they realized I didn't have it in my mouth, and they implanted it back in, and that started my journey down into dentistry. So at the age of 8, I decided I wanted to be a dental hygienist or in dentistry because that team was so good to me, and they took care of me and eased my fears. And that journey led me to school. Fast forward, you know, I graduated and then I got married. And when I got married, we decided we wanted to have a family a few years into it. And I struggled to get pregnant because I had to do IVF. And during that struggle, I needed more flexibility in my schedule. So I started temping. And I temped in offices all over Atlanta, Georgia. And I temped in over 100 offices, and I became the person that people came to and said, I need a front office. I need a dental assistant. I need this. I need that. And I started to realize that I was real good at placing people because I'd look at their core values and I'd look at their personalities, and I figured out who would work with each other. And I actually married a programmer. Went to Georgia Tech, and I told him, I came home and I was like, I need a website. Can you write me a website? And he's like, oh yeah, I can write a website in my sleep, you know, and I can use it as a test project at work. And so I asked him to write, I drew it out what I wanted. I went and got some logos made, and I placed ads in the paper, and where I draw all the job seekers to my website, and I started Dental Post, the largest dental job board in the country. There's about 850,000 people that look for jobs on there in dentistry, all positions. And then there's, I have 49,000 dental offices using it to fill positions in their office. So I always say that I gave birth to 3 babies because I gave birth to twin girls in September of 2003. And then I founded Dental Post Papers 04. Let's see, I had them in 03 September, and then 04 is when I founded my papers to start Dental Post, and then I was off to the races.
So you became an entrepreneur because you wanted the flexibility as a new mom.
Yes, I was struggling to get pregnant, and I needed the flexibility, and I got frustrated with there was no way to find jobs out there. The paper charged $500 to post a job with five for 10 words in it, and it was frustrating for the doctors, and they couldn't find staff. So I started placing ads in the paper. Then the paper actually came back and said, "You're our competition." I was like, "No, I'm not. Look at all these other temp services placing. I'm a temp service." And I convinced them I was a temp service. And I kept practicing hygiene until about 2 years ago, actually. But I just dwindled down my days. But I was cleaning the president of the paper's teeth. And so I wrote him a letter, a funny one, said, "Hey, your guy at the paper is kicking me off. I can't place an ad. I'm a temp service." And I kind of made a joke about, I might slip and drop, cut something in his mouth, when I clean his teeth. And the people that worked for him thought it was so funny. They sent me a gift, and then they were like, "Oh, you can post now." And so I actually took some of his business by posting ads in there.
Well, I think that women entrepreneurs are natural born leaders. How has your journey been? I guess it's 14 years, is it?
14 years. My journey has been interesting. I went to school to be a hygienist, but I had grandparents, a grandfather that spent a lot of time with me that, he had a lot of leadership. He founded the fire department, and then he had a lot of rental properties and the heating air business and ran the town pretty much. So he was kind of my guy that I watched, and he taught me everything. And my mom's side of the family were farmers, and my parents were divorced. They divorced when I was two. And my mother had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which is hers was debilitating. So I lived beside my grandparents on a farm, and my mom was trapped in her head with OCD. There was things that she couldn't get past, and she actually, I don't talk about this a lot, but her OCD was so bad, she would wash us. She'd wash, she thought that we were contaminated, and her contamination was my dad was the contaminant in her head. So anything that had to do with my father that we came in contact with or that was in her world contaminated, she'd sometimes give us, two baths, three baths, throw our shoes away. If we went to a town and we walked behind a car that was from the town that my dad was from, our shoes would be contaminated. She'd throw those away and we'd leave. With that struggle there, that taught me a lot. She gave me a gift to be able to see why people do the things they do. And I believe that's where it built my leadership skills is because mom was trapped in her head, and I always wanted her just to be okay. That's part of my why is, I want to change lives. I want to make it better for people. And that's what I based my company off building. And that's why I became a healthcare worker. I want people to see the value in taking care of their bodies, and the bacteria in their mouth affects their whole health. And it was also when I started Dental Post is I wanted people to be able to pay for things because my mom threw away everything. And she wouldn't take money from my dad. She just didn't value. She had no currency. It was all about, in her head, what was contaminated, and she'd throw everything away. We had nothing. And thank God for my grandparents. They set my core values. But going back to my mom, she gave me a gift to see and look at what's their driver? Why do they do the things they do? And that's how I built my company. I wanted to make it better for people. I wanted to help them pay their bills and take their kids on vacation and, buy food for their families. It goes deeper than that. So that's kind of where my core came from.
So you had your why.
Yeah, I had my why at a young age. I didn't really realize it until I was a little older, but I always did. I did things for a purpose. Like every decision I would make, I would make it count. from a young age.
So Warren Morrison talked about acting with intent. So that sounds like you did that. And so how old were you when you realized your mom had OCD?
Oh, I knew at a young age. I remember thinking at a young age, I would look at this other family. I'd go to spend the night at their house. And I was like, oh, this is normal. This is great. And then I lived beside my grandparents too. And they were normal. And I was always at their house. Mm-hmm. But then I'd go back to mom's and we had these rules. And it was because she was trapped in her head. Mm-hmm. So I knew at a young age. And my sister and I were 15 months apart. And she was the youngest. I was the oldest. And I would take the brunt for anything, or we actually learned, and I don't use the skill for bad, you know, for a negative outcome, but we learned to manipulate our mother a little bit. So if we were going into a store and we saw a car from my dad's town, my sister and I would start a fight, or we would learn to distract her. And it gave me a gift to actually be good with patients when they're scared, or children when they're scared, to just distract them and, you know how to handle it.
Wow. So how old were you?
I was with my mother from age two, well, from beginning, but they divorced when I was two. And then at 12, my mom decided, I went behind her back and I went and saw my father because she kept us from him. My grandparents had influenced that. But let me back up a little bit. I was on the farm until I was about fifth grade, yeah. And mom decided that we'd move away. And that was really hard for me because I didn't have my grandparents. It's like my foundation and crutch there I could go to for anything. And we moved away, but we were going back during the summer. So for 9 months, I'd be away from the farm. Then we would go for the summertime and I got to run free. And then my grandparents was like, do you want to go see your dad and your grandparents? And I knew the ramifications would be bad if my mother found out, but we decided to go anyway. We were curious. And they were so good to us when we went and saw them. Well, we went back to the farm, and my grandparents dropped us off with my mother. My OCD was really bad. She would. This is the way it would go. They would buy us clothes all summer. We would go meet my mother at like a McDonald's when we were, you know, sixth grade, and they would hand us off to my mother, and my mother would have a room rented at the hotel, and she would wash us. And then we would walk down, we'd spend the night there, and we'd walk down to the next hotel where a car was parked. And then we would bathe there, and she'd have food in a cooler, and then we would go home.
She would wash you at two different locations before you were allowed to go back home.
That's how bad her OCD mm-hmm. was. And then we would start school, and I think my seventh grade year, she found out in October that we had gone to see our father behind her back. And she actually, I remember getting very upset and yelling at my sister. And I called my grandmother. I said, come get us. She knows. And she had a breakdown at that point. So my grandparents came and got us, and I ended up finishing living with them for a while. But that's what gave me a gift, all that struggle. It made me realize what I don't want. And I don't want my children around, and I want to raise them in a healthy environment. So my grandparents showed me what that was.
Yeah, so they seem so loving and, you know, like sort of like salt of the earth and foundation of your town.
They were. They were always sticking us in the water when we had a fever, and like ice cold water, or sticking honey and, you know, bourbon down our throat when we were sick. And she was always taken care of. She'd make us homemade biscuits every morning for breakfast and made us, you know, blackberry jam, and it was a good upbringing.
Well, it's interesting because when I talk to other people who did go through OCD, they'll take that situation and not be accountable and say, like, I'm not doing anything because of this experience, but you did the complete opposite.
Yeah, I am. I didn't, you know, I'm very self-aware because of my experience, and I really reflect a lot. I pull up the mirror and look at myself and go, okay, why am I feeling this way, and what's the outcome of my actions? So it made me at an early age start thinking about that.
So I know that recently, you know, you were telling me about your husband. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Oh, goodness. This goes back to, I got my heart broken in college. Mm-hmm. We don't have a manual we come out with, you know, and know everything. And I was dating a guy and was dating another girl on the side I didn't know about, and I found out. And then some time went by, and you know, I really didn't get into another relationship. I kind of dated. And then I was playing flag football. There was a bunch of guys, and they, you know, one of them started talking to me, and then the other one started talking to me, the best friend. And they asked me to go out with them all, and for their, they were trying to get me to date their friend. And so I ended up going out with them, meeting them out, and I ended up meeting my husband at that point. I married safe. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of, you use your, when you use your head instead of your heart, I think that sometimes that you can pick the wrong. And, you know, having this, here at EMP at MIT, we had a class that talks about your heart knows first. Mm-hmm. And I believe that your heart knows first.
So you knew deep down inside, but you wanted that safe choice.
Yeah, this is kind of hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those difficult situations to talk about because I don't want to offend anybody mm-hmm. or hurt anyone. Yeah, you just, I think your heart does know when you're going, but, you know, he had a nice job. He was, he loved his dog. His mother was awesome. He's a good person. It wasn't a fit.
So how long were you married?
I was married 19 years. I was determined to make it work. I was so determined to make it work that, I lost myself in it. And I was determined to do anything to keep the marriage together. And I think as a woman entrepreneur, I think that we're built that way. And I wanted to try to come up with a solution to fix anything, because we do that in our businesses. But, you know, if you don't have another person that wants to work with you, or you throw them the ball and they won't pick it up, you can't play the game.
So 19 years, and you tried and you asked to go to therapy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we went to therapy for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. And we worked hard on it. It just didn't pan out. And, you know, that's okay, because, you know, I had to mourn it. I had built this ecosystem, like my grandparents on my dad's side had built this ecosystem. My grandmother worked in the business. My grandfather ran the business. He was fire chief. You know, he ran a heating and air business. And they were just pillars of the community, and they were a unit. And that's what I wanted. And that's not what my ex wanted. So I had to mourn that ecosystem I wanted around that safety. I went around my family with my business and to be congruent together and want the same things. But when you're with somebody that doesn't know what they want, and they consistently say that they don't know what they want, you know, it's I just kept thinking that he would figure it out.
But you've worked so hard this past year. You know, you're saying a little bit about some of the tactics about your business, and like Tony Robbins, you're helping your team cultural wise. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. When I was going through the divorce, it kind of drug out because he didn't know what he wanted. And so I started putting things around for safety around my team, around my kids, around you know, around the business. I hired a coach. I hired Petra, Andy Bailey's company. And I also, you know, made sure I stepped back a little bit. I took my foot off the gas to make sure that my kids were good and put lots of love around them. That were my first priority. And then I ended up taking my whole team, which Chris, you know, my ex is on my team. So he went to Tony Robbins with us, and that helped a lot. And I just did a lot of things. I did a lot of work, you know, to try to make things balanced in my life. I hired everything out that I could possibly get hired out so I could spend all my time with my kids. So I worked to really make everything fill in the gaps.
And you're here too. You just got your master's here at MIT. So, I mean, congratulations.
Congratulations to you too. I'm so excited. This is amazing.
We learned so much. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I know that Warren also talked about how if, you know, we have to have a foundation and that we have to have good habits. And when you were here, you were telling everyone, say, let's go running at 6:45 a.m. Can you talk a little bit about your habits and how you keep it all together as a woman entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'm pretty disciplined and focused on what I want. But, you know, being here and you're sitting all day, mm-hmm. I was like, I need to move, you know, to make my brain think better. And I believe in order to function at a high level as an entrepreneur, as a mom, and everything that I'm responsible for, I think you really got to take care of your body. You only have one. Mm-hmm. It's a tool. And you start destroying that, then you can't be good for everybody else. And so I had tried to motivate everybody to go. And for 2 days we ran, and then today it kind of fell through. But everybody else was, they showed up. I ran with Brian, and they were awesome. So.
I know, definitely. You've been such an inspiration. Whenever I see you on Facebook, you're so beautiful and gorgeous, and you seem to like you keep everything together. So is there like a certain diet that you have or routine at home?
You know, I had some autoimmune things happen when during all the stress that I was going through emotionally with my business. I threw positives for a lot of weird things, and then they all went away. And stress will really wreck your system. And so I think exercise and eating right is real important. And, of course, I'm a healthcare worker. So I tend to stay with the autoimmune things I have. I stay away from gluten and I stay away from sugars. I do have a little bit every once in a while. But, you know, I think you have to be bad a little bit because you got to be good for – if you're good for a long time, then you got to just drop a little bit low and not go crazy. I just eat – I try to do a lot of live food where fresh vegetables and, you know, and that. And I had some testing done with, I believe in testing. A lot of people don't realize that they have some allergies and to food, and it actually works against them. But I think it's really a good idea to always get yourself tested to make sure that you're eating the right things for your body.
What are you allergic to?
I'm allergic. I found out I'm allergic to egg whites and dairy now. So
I'm allergic to pineapple and tomatoes.
Oh. Aw.
And I'm from Hawaii.
I know. It's so funny.
Can you believe that? Yeah. Of all the things, pineapple. So there's a lot of women entrepreneurs listening to the show. What type of tactics or tools would you recommend that they do, or just based from what you learned?
You know, I think I come across a lot of girls that, because my industry is mostly women, and I believe in lifting us up, you know, and giving back. I believe that, you know, women won't ask and they won't step up and they won't, believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. And I really think that that's where we need a lot of work, because we really can do a lot, with what we've been taught. And I think our society, you know, there's the masculine energy and the feminine energy. And I know as entrepreneurs, you know, women entrepreneurs, we fight a lot with, okay, we end up going into the masculine energy a lot. But I think it's okay to ask for help. I think it's okay to ask for, you, if you don't ask, you'll never know. So that's my kind of takeaway with dealing with a lot of women in my business. They just don't ask.
How did you learn to ask?
I think because my mother had OCD. Mm. And she wasn't saying no. And my grandparents were always telling me that. They told me I could do anything I wanted. I just couldn't do everything. And my grandmother also taught me, she's like, you put your pants on the same way everybody else does. And she said a couple other things that I can't repeat. but I think just having, you know, strong grandmothers and seeing them as pillars in the family really taught me how to be.
Well, thank you so much. What's next for you?
Oh, goodness.
You're going to be on the cover of a magazine.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on the cover of the Dental Entrepreneurs Women and in the dentistry world. And then I have an idea for a new business. So I'm kind of excited. It's a kind of a passion project, and it has to do with a divorce and what I went through, the struggle. And I want to make it better for everybody else.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to see what's happening. And maybe next year you'll share it with us when we're back here in MIT.
I'm excited for number 4 year.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you, Kalika.
Thanks for listening. EO is Entrepreneurs Organization, the world's only entrepreneur peer-to-peer network. Find out more at eonetwork.org. Until next time, have a great day.